Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, friends. Habari Ghani, what's the news? Ujamaa. The fourth principle of Kwanzaa is Ujamaa. For this principle, we light the second red candle of the Kanara. Ujamaa means cooperative economics. This principle encourages us to create businesses, open stores, and make products to help and share with the people in our community. This museum object tells a story of cooperative economics. Can you tell what business or service they may represent? During her life, Madam C.J. Walker wanted other African-American women like herself to feel beautiful and to be able to take good care of their hair. But at that time, there weren't many healthy hair products available for African-Americans to buy. So Madam C.J. Walker designed her own. She started a successful hair care business and hired other Black women to work with her to share items like creams, oils, and shampoos all over the United States. Madam C.J. Walker's business shows us Ujamaa because her company not only made products that helped the Black community, but her company also provided a lot of jobs to women in the Black community too. To celebrate Ujamaa, we invite you to think about what you could create to help people in your community, then design it and draw it. Also, find a Black business you can support today. Then check out our Ujamaa activity sheet linked in the description. Thank you for celebrating with me, and have a joyous Kwanzaa.
And greetings, Habari Ghani. Welcome to a special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi. And, of course, yes, indeed, this is the fourth day of Kwanzaa. And tonight, family, we're going to talk a bit about, hey, cooperative economics. What else? So before we begin tonight's program, I really just want to point out that one of the reasons why we mentioned Madam C.J. Walker, and it is because one of the upcoming MWM Black Print initiatives is called the BBBCO. And there's two segments of that, but one of them is geared specifically to our Black beauticians, braiders, barbers, and cosmetologists, hence BBBCO. The focus of that new an exciting association membership that is now available to Black folks all over the country, again, in the so-called beauty culture or the area of beauty trade, as it's called, the industry that we used to really be able to do some things in. Well, we need to do it again, needless to say. And, of course, nowadays we have more information. We have more capability of more natural hair care products. And so one of the things that MWM will be doing starting next year is, of course, now being able to get access to natural hair and body care products. So we're going to tell you a little bit about our Black Print Agenda 25 tonight, which includes a manufacturing expo. A Black African diasporic manufacturers, producers, and also independent service providers expo, so that we will now know and be able to have easily available the various entities in our community that have the various goods and services that we actually are making. Now, of course, we're going to also have other businesses, too, but we're going to be highlighting for 2022 those that are literally making, manufacturing their own products and independent services, okay? And so we're going to tell you a little more about that because this is truly, you talk about cooperative economics, well, yeah, we're going to definitely show how we must and can do that. Now, of course, in talking about Madam C.J. Walker, we paid attention to, and by the way, she's one of our sister saints, And actually, December the 23rd was, in fact, her Earth Day. She was born December 23rd, 1867. Now, of course, many just equate her with or talk about her being, the person that created the comb, the straightening comb and all of that. All right, whatever. The point is she was ingenious in marketing and in training black women to a degree where, do y'all know where Avon got their concept from? Well, we can tell you. From she and Mother Malone. So again, black women in particular, we get ready to take our rightful places again, the way we should. And with that said, we're going to be putting that call out very shortly for those who have black products, hair and body care products that they make themselves. We are getting ready to do an expo that will feature those products, and MWM plans to be a distributor of black products for the hair and, of course, personal body care. We've been working on it, and now we are ready to go with it. So we're going to give you more information about that a little later on. Let me see. There's something else I want to share with you before we go to the next portion of the program. Okay, let me see. Okay, so also tonight, family, what we're going to talk about, of course, is Ujamaa, right? Oops, wait a minute. Got something wrong there. And we apologize for the wrong principle being put into the e-blast. That was an error. And so we were trying to correct it as we were getting prepared, but we wasn't able to really do it in time. But, I mean, it's all relevant. So you'll see, of course, unfortunately, it'll say Ujamaa when it should have said Ujamaa. But it's definitely because cooperative work and responsibility, cooperative economics is, you know, definitely related. But we're definitely focusing on the economic piece for tonight. So, again, our apologies for that little error. We were not able to correct it before the blast went out. At any rate, y'all know what we're talking about, and y'all know what it is that we're doing. So, again, if any of you have a business, a service, or something else that you are doing that generates economics, finance, development, or whatever, we're going to give you the opportunity tonight to share that with others, those who are tuning in, both online and, of course, in our podcast. And, of course, we want to also remind you that MWM25 is coming, and unlike before, we are not, shall we say, going to be depending on, we weren't really depending before, but we had thought we would get more support from various groups and organizations. That didn't happen, and so those are lessons well learned, and so we're not really expecting it now. If it happens, fine, but if not, we're good with that too. We've developed other mechanisms to make certain that we are able to finance our operations now, utilizing the principles of Kwanzaa and of Ma'at. So we have what we call the Ma'at and Kwanzaa and Guza Saba, seven principles for both, and applying them appropriately. So you will hear us talk more about Kaumba, of course, which is coming. And that will enable us to kind of give some insight into some of the creative modes and other kinds of things that we've been able to develop to make certain that we're able to generate the Ujamaa components for our operations, upcoming operations. One of the things that we definitely want to share with everyone, and we'll be talking to Elder Henry in the near future in regards to his project, which pertains to land. And so that's one of the topics for tonight when we talk about Ujamaa, and that is, you know, free the land, save the land, take back the land. Now, of course, years ago, one of the famous kind of slogans or focuses was free the land. And so we know that if we're going to advance in what we need to do, we got to have some land. So what MWM is going to be putting more into the forefront of our movement, as it is connected to the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign, is reparatory justice in the context of getting land. there's no reason why we should be paying for land or property as far as we're concerned. So with that said, a part of our reparatory justice program is the obtainment of land, the obtainment of property. Again, while some have a focus on, you know, just getting the check, which is fine, you know, we want that too, but we know that there are other things that are resources that will help us to advance in every way possible. And so, again, there's plenty of land out there, needless to say, and definitely in every major city, properties. Now, again, unfortunately, some of those properties were taken, meaning, you know, our people had to go into foreclosure or predatory lending and other things like that. So we're going to be focusing more so primarily on property that is owned by the city governments, state governments, and even the federal governments. All right. And so we've identified a few here in Philadelphia. We also are identifying properties in other cities as well, particularly properties that have been sitting, just sitting there. I mean, there's no justification for that when people need housing. And again, that is one of our Recharge Genocide 21 project areas. We have 21 areas. That's why it's called Recharge Genocide 21. So that way you're able to differentiate when you hear We Charge Genocide, because there are several other campaigns, and of course, with Paul Robeson and others, you know, there have been We Charge Genocide petitions and other things. Well, ours is specifically We Charge Genocide 21, and that is because we have at least 21 areas that we are focusing on to get remedies, to get resolutions. There's 21 areas of crimes against humanity. And so, again, when we talk about UJMA, when we talk about cooperative economics and all that goes with that, then obviously connecting that to our We Charge Genocide 21 is, it's apropos. It's more than appropriate. So moving right along, family, I'm hoping that some of our Chicago family will be able to join us later. And if not, we'll get them in at the end of the week, because they put something together a couple of years ago called the National Black Agenda. And, of course, the National Black Agenda does, in fact, have components that, you know, really focus on the development of financial growth and economics. And so, you know, a lot of times we hear people talk about what the problems are, and so forth, but you rarely hear about that needs to be done. What can we do? Well, needless to say, MWM certainly has some plans of action that we've been working on for quite a while and now are ready to bring forward. So what we're going to do, family, in the meantime, if you have anything that you'd like to share that deals with community, family, institution building as it pertains to the economic aspect of it, the financial aspect of it, you can press 1 now. If you have a business that you want others to hear about and know about that you want to share at this time, we welcome you to do that. You can just press 1 now. And also, if you have any suggestions in regards to what either you're doing or what you think we should do to develop to a greater extent. I mean, listen, this is almost 2022. 2022. You heard the sister talk about Madam C.J. Walker. You know how long ago that was? 100 years ago that was going on. So this is embarrassing that at this stage of the game, we do not have the kind of capability control over our dollars. Lastly, before we go to you, we see a couple of people got their hands raised, and that's wonderful. We're going to come to you in a minute. But tonight we want to also start working on the National Black Solidarity Day Committee. Again, over 50 years ago, our people was literally practicing self-determination, cooperative economics, all of that, by the way of Black Solidarity Day, the day before Election Day. the day where, you know, people were asked not to spend any money on one day out the year to withhold from spending money. So we are really working on getting that message circulated in 2022 so that on a national level, folks will not be spending money on that one day. Can you have any idea what that would do to this economy and the stock market and all of that if black folks for one day just did not spend money? That is a major, that would have a major impact, and it would show a wonderful example of, you know, unity for one day to do something concise, you know, in a concise, succinct manner all over the country. So again, we're formulating a committee now so that in our communities by November, I got to look at what date it is, the day before Election Day for next year, folks should be ready to not spend any money. And we'll be ready in the event that you do feel you need to spend some money. We'll have a listing of black businesses that you can go to on that day. The plan of action. That's what we're talking about. Having a plan of action. So let's do this. We're going to go to our live line and get some suggestions, some thoughts from you all in terms of Ujamaa, meaning collective work. I mean, not collective work, sorry. I'm still with Ujima for some reason because that's so important too. But Ujamaa, cooperative economics. Want to hear from you some of the suggestions and thoughts about that. So we're going to go to caller at 2274. It's the last digits of your number. Oh, and so your mic is now open. 2274.
Yes, how you doing, Hotel Pimpussy?
Hey, what's happening, Brother Adrian?
Abarigani, I'm living the best life I ever had. And I'm glad that this program that you're putting on is very timely because we're working on those campaigns here. We're getting ready to launch, me and Fred of eMediaGC.com, a collaboration with a radio station out of Alabama. So I'll still try to get Attorney Anthony Muhammad on board with the Recharge Genocide 21. And for all of those individuals who have products and services, online especially, we can help market and promote for a very low cost. I don't know. We have some free campaigns going on that I would like to get into later on. But Fred, since he runs eMediaGC.com and he's putting out Community Defender as well as several other things, you know, I can get with him, and I have to get with him because I wasn't aware that you was going to do this tonight. But in the very near future, we will like to have a collaboration with all those brothers and sisters to help market and promote their websites, their products, their services, because we have that going on here locally, and we would like to take it nationally as well as international. And
oh,
I can be reached at 225-571-2274. That's 225-571-2274. And we could collaborate together to help market and promote and help uplift each other. And the date that you chose, which is very important, the day before Election Day, not only will we be encouraging people not to spend any money, but we'll have a warehouse or some type of economic hub that they can go to where we can not only
have an economic
boycott for one day, but we can continue it for 365 and really get to some political power.
That's right. No doubt about it, Brother Adrian. And that's what we're talking about. You know, many have been talking about these things for quite a while, but now it's time to literally do it, to put it in place, and that's exactly what we're now going to do. So, again, give them your number again, Brother Adrian, and also your email address. And by the way, I don't know if you heard me announce that we're going to literally be doing – we're going to do one here in Philly, and we're going to take a country, course country. We'll be in Chicago in, I think, August because that's also considered National Black Business Month for August. But a lot of people don't know that, so we'll be promoting that. But we're also adding self-determination to our campaign for National Black Business Month. But we're going to kick something off here in Philly in February, and it's geared to black manufacturers, those that produce their own goods, as well as independent service providers. All right, and so
okay.
You'll definitely be getting more information about that, because we're going to promote all of our black businesses, but one of our first kind of highlighted areas are folks that literally make, produce their own whatever. Good, it could be clothing, it could be product,
rubber bands
for the house. That's right. Doesn't matter what it is, but they are the actual producer, manufacturer of it. We wanna make sure we start highlighting that. And we're going to also, of course, highlight all of our businesses, but definitely we're going to make sure that we highlight those. So give them your information again, Brother Adrian.
Okay, it's I can be reached at 225-571-2274, 225-571-2274. My email is communitydefender@yahoo.com. That's communitydefender@yahoo.com. And I also like to make this point, speaking of Chicago, before Philip Jackson passed, who headed the Black Star Project and was spearheading the Million Fathers March, you know, when that whole thing went off with Starbucks, he had and I hope it might still be up, he had a website called blackjournal.com where he listed black coffee houses by city and by state. So that's a good starting point where we could start getting coffee from black coffee houses, and it's listed by city and by state. So in case people are traveling and if they're not at home and they're out of town, they could still support some black coffee houses.
That's right. Absolutely.
And it was called blackjournal.com. I don't know if it's still up because the brother passed, but that's a good starting point for us to create our own economic hub.
And, you know, brother, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's the kind of stuff that we used to do. There used to be something called the Green Book. And the Green Book, see, we got
to
do
that. Yeah, Mr. Green, the brother who used to have it when we used the mailing services, and this is like in 1920s he was doing this, through the mailing system.
That's right. Absolutely.
Where you would stop at black-owned gas stations and hotels while you were traveling.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so nowadays there's even more, maybe not so much as gas station, but definitely hotel and bed, what do they call them, breakfast and beds things. There's a whole bunch of those things now, much more than before. So to have a listing, you know, we need to be able to make certain that we have this stuff in a synchronized kind of manner and made easily available to our people. So next year, 25-year anniversary is going to really allow us to do that. But while we have you, Brother Adrian, so what else is going on in Baton Rouge?
Well, what we're doing and not only keeping into the spirit of Kwanzaa with all seven of the principles, of course, you know, some of the things that we do as far as buying black, I always try to do that 365 anyway. That's why I got to try to keep up with some of the special dates, because this is my lifestyle. You know, we Three Kings, some individuals that I know who do products and services like lotions, raw shea butter soap, and African artistries, you know, we're trying to connect internationally with individuals in Haiti and Puerto Rico. So we want to also step into international trade. And we're connected to a school, a young man who turned his house into a school for at-risk children and teaching them how to sew purses and scarves and clothing and things like that. So we're connected with those individuals, and we're also looking here to purchase some land, because here in Scotlandville, that's the area around Southern University, is called the Federal Culture Site. So if you own land in this area, you get 15% off on your taxes, and if you do hands, arts, and crafts, you pay no taxes. So we're going to put that out in a documentary that I'm doing. It's called Scotlandville Renaissance. To check out some of the promo videos, you could go to YouTube and type in Scotlandville. You could type in Brother Adrian's with an apostrophe S open market. And I also wanted to share my good news with you. One of my videos was pulled off YouTube. due to medical misinformation. So we're also collaborating with some of our medical experts to keep up our health about exercise and different herbal medicines. And, you know, we have some of those things going on as well. So we have a whole lot that we're looking forward to in 2022. And I look to expanding partnerships and collaborations with the Millions Women's March as well as other organizations. So therefore, we can not only build an economic hub, but we can build that military around it that we so desperately need.
So let me ask this question, Brother Adrian, because one of the things that we're going to be focusing on is land. And again, as we prepare for MWM25, we're going to make sure we have at least two components for investment. So one will be specifically for sisters, and another component will be for, you know, all of our people, any of our people. So when it comes to land there in Baton Rouge, is it readily available for purchase acreage-wise? And what about property, meaning buildings is already there?
We have some buildings already there, even though some of them are dilapidated, but we do have plenty of acreage. But some of our, you know, there was an old theater. We used to have three theaters. Now we have none in this area. And those buildings are there, but it's dilapidated, some of the dilapidated two-, three-story, because I'm also working with a brother, Louis Ali, my former co-host, who is heading this chapter of the New Black Wall Street Project. And we're looking to revitalize that area with between now and the next couple of years. So we have acreage of land that's readily available, as well as land that has some dilapidated buildings, but some of them are dirt cheap. And we have some individuals who are roofers, painters, electrical engineers who are working to redevelop some of that land, and we're working on the purchasing now as we speak.
Oh, wonderful. So now you all are working on a Black Wall Street there for Baton Rouge also.
Yes. It's already headed in Atlanta, Georgia, and we're working on a chapter here. I mean, we already have it up and going, but we're working on that here.
Right.
And we're looking to purchase land as well as redevelop it, because we want to bring back pride and you know, bring back the ownership back that we once had before. Because a lot of people are not aware. The first bus boycott happened here in Baton Rouge in 1953. Dr. King, Rosa Parks, and others came to Baton Rouge to find out how to organize a bus boycott, learn the do's and don'ts. Within 7 days, the bus companies lost money, gas stations lost money, as well as those stores downtown lost money, because buses were our main source of transportation. We had 35 black-owned bus companies before the 1953 bus boycott, as well as gas stations, lumber companies, cab companies, and we want to get back to that. So what we're trying to do and working towards is getting involved with the students at Southern University as well as LSU to say, don't just go to school to get a job, go to school to create a job. And we're putting some of those things in place by teaching them some of the basics of technology. I'm going to be collaborating with individuals who understand business and technologies. They're called the Masters of Business. They're spearheaded by a brother named Brother Bedford, who did an ebook called Conversations with Black Millionaires. So I'm going to be working with him in 2022 as for a low cost. He is bringing together black millionaires and billionaires to teach us how to start and maintain businesses. So I'm going to be collaborating with those individuals as well. So it's a lot going on, and I know that I can't do it all by myself. So I'm looking to try to collaborate with our people, because our collaborations, our partnerships, our networks, that's what's going to get us to be able to have some upward mobility economically, as well as better than our health and our spirituality.
All right. That's what we're talking about. You know, and again, I'm glad you mentioned the, you know, the spirituality part, because that's been a part of the conversation in every session that we've had since we started Kwanzaa for this year. We've had people to talk about or to mention about the spirituality component. And it's interesting because on the day, on the last day of Kwanzaa, we're going to share some information about that particular thing in terms of our black print. We have something very, very special that we put in place specifically for the last day of Kwanzaa, Imani, and it has to do with spiritual growth and development. So we're going to be talking more about that a little later on too, Brother Adrian. But listen, here's the other thing. So going back to your Black Wall Street, because again, in our black print, there's a section there that talks about supporting, you know, the existing Black Wall Street, of course, in helping its redevelopment. And of course, we got Sister Rahima, who is a part of the Tulsa development there, and we're working, we'll be supporting some of the projects that she's talking about. But of course, all over the country, there is Black Wall Street kinds of initiatives. So again, when we do some of our upcoming sessions, we got to start connecting some of the various groups in some of the other cities and start looking at, you know, how we're going to build, connect together, and then build these projects. Because, you know, with the We Charge Genocide, Brother Adrian, as far as I'm concerned, and I mentioned this earlier, we should not be talking about having to pay for this stuff, for land,
right,
for property, all of that. No, we shouldn't be doing
that. It's already there.
It's like, that's right, it's already there. And why would we be paying for that when they owe us? And again,
yeah,
we have to at least say that or at least take that kind of position. You see, so that's definitely, and I know, you know, speaking of that, I know you're not in New Orleans directly, but how's New Orleans doing? I mean, of course, after the hurricane Katrina and Rita and all of that, we know that our family was, you know, was still, you know, rebuilding from that. So how are things going with that, you know, to your knowledge?
Yeah. Those things are going very well because, you see, what a lot of people are not aware is when Hurricane Katrina and Rita hit and a lot of people had to be displaced, the whole thing was they was trying to take the ownership of the land because you had a lot of senior citizens there who owned their houses. But because they owned their houses, the government wasn't just able to take it just like that. So they tried to take it from tax default, from people who didn't pay taxes and stuff like that. So as long as we're able to pay the taxes, because a lot of those senior citizens own their land, and they have a group. I forgot the name of it. They're working towards building the economic hub. You know, they're trying to buy pieces of the Superdome and stuff like that. So, you know, they have some individuals that are working together, moving forward. But like everything, we need to work together, make it bigger, better, sharper, faster, more excellent. But people are moving along, but they're still, the government was trying to take a lot of those individuals' land, those senior citizens who owned it outright. So we have to, you know, again, you know, get that protection around. But people are moving forward. It's slowly but surely. And, you know, after Hurricane Ida, you know, that caused, you know, some more confusion because some of the individuals during Hurricane Katrina and Rita, some of the contractors was able to get work people to do work for free. You know, they would leave before they have to pay them. But it's moving forward. But like everything else, we still need to make it sharper and faster and more excellent.
Wow. No doubt. So one of the things that we definitely want to look at now is there. Let me just ask the church: Is there a Black Business Association there?
Not that I'm aware of, but I can get back with you about that in a couple of days.
Yeah,
they do have Black Business Owner, but I'll check about the association.
Yeah, because that's important. Most cities do have a Black Chamber of Commerce or African-American Chamber of Commerce and so forth. And again, this is the kind of stuff that we need to really make certain that we're able to connect to. Now, one of the things that we'll be doing for MWM is we're going to be connecting to all the Black banks because our position is if Goldman Sachs can talk about they getting ready to give Black women $10 billion for business, Black women need to be saying to our own Black businesses, what you going to do with us, you see? Because, again, you know, it's very easy for white folks to talk about what they're going to do to help us, right? And
yeah.
particularly an entity like Goldman Sachs, when you do the history, read some history on them, right now they have been under indictment. They have been charged with so many different and have had to pay different fines for their practices, their unethical practices all over the country, all over the world, really. So they've been putting out millions of dollars based on fines for their inappropriate or unethical kinds of business practices. Now they're trying to clean it up, their image and so forth, by saying, you know, they're doing all this for black women. Because they know that black women are, first of all, they know black women are not, for the most part, organized. And then the ones that are, they know are more corporate-minded and would lend more to, you know, working with them in that kind of way. And so they're taking full advantage of the situation, knowing that for the most part, you know, the average black women, business, organization, and so forth, are not going to be plugged in. And so it'll be the so-called, you know, elite, for the most part, who will really be able to get greater access and more than likely be put in place to help disseminate whatever those funds are going to be. And so,
and
you know,
a lot
again,
of people are not aware.
Right. Oh, listen, that's
a lot
what
of people are not aware that Goldman Sachs, and I read reports on this several years ago, and I saw it about 15 years ago on the Money Channel. They put aside $10 million just for stuff like this, just to have cleanups, just to have stuff. Because it's very ironic you mentioned that when they had a report on the Money Channel, you know, one of the rules is that when you come into Goldman Sachs, you don't talk to the press. So in order to clean up the image, I don't know if she's still there, who's the head of the HR department, the human resource department, they put aside $10 million for things like that. So just in case they have what they call damage control.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. No doubt about it. Excuse me, you put it right in the right perspective, Brother Adrian. That's exactly how it goes.
So that's what we have to do, and that's why we have to organize us as a people, black men in particular, but black people in general, so therefore we can be in a position that when the money is coming and the money is flowing, we got to get it in our direction. I mean, I even saw to where they're having it even now with black college football, you know, where, you know, they're in a position where they have to go to corporations to get sponsorship. So we got to put ourselves in a position where our black businesses, we could sponsor HBCU footballs and our entertainment as well as our business expos. We can't have Ford and Home Depot and all of those corporations sponsoring our business. We have to.
But, you know, over the years, that's been the game plan. All of your major organizations, particularly ones that do national conventions and so forth, look at their sponsorship list, you rarely will see any black ones there. You see, this game has been played now for like at least 2-3 decades. That's the way this stuff goes. So the major groups are sponsored by the major corporations. And this helps to keep those corporations, it helps to keep their name, their product, and so forth, you know, matriculating amongst the masses. And what these groups and organizations don't realize is that they're really, even though they're getting thousands of dollars in the big scheme of things for a corporation, that's chump change.
Yeah.
So they had millions of dollars just for, like you said, just for advertising. So if they give you $100,000 to do their job for them, for real, that's a drop in the bucket for them. But look at how much money you can possibly be making for them by making certain that their information is disseminated through to the thousands of members that these people have.
And that we're the number one consumers and not producers. So they're going to get that money back in tenfold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to change the game considerably, for lack of a better terminology. And with that, sisters, I want to let everyone know we've changed our venue for the National Black Women's Political Convention. We're going to do it in Philly. We were going to do it in Vegas. We're going to do the second one in Vegas. We're going to do the first one in Philly, and it will happen in March. And I'll tell you more about that a little later on, because these are some of the topics and some of the things that we're getting ready to put in place, including our own consumer and protection awareness cadre. You rarely hear about Black folks dealing with the issues of consumer awareness and protection. Why? So these vultures know that for the most part, most groups and organizations are not doing that kind of work to be able to even provide information to their members, their constituents, and definitely not to the people at large, masses at large, about products. What are the reports about some of these products that these companies are producing? Who's taking the time to literally examine quality? You see, so while we're advertising for them, are we actually, and you know, looking closer at what type of product they're actually producing? Well, we can tell you right now, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, and all the other stuff, not good. Not good, you see. And so this is the kind of stuff that we've now got to make sure that we help our people to have a better understanding, overstanding, understanding, whichever y'all prefer, about. Okay. But
yeah,
it's all good, though, Brother Adrian. Listen, I want you to stay right there. Family, if there's someone else that would like to share some information, again, we're talking about Ujamaa. And, again, our apologies. There was a typo when we sent out the notice. It said Ujima, and that was an error. We knew it was an error. We were trying to correct it before we were able to get on, but we couldn't, so I'm announcing it now. That was just a typo. We knew that it was the fourth day. It was a typo. But at any rate, is there anyone else that has anything you want to share with us about cooperative economics, about how we can literally, what's the action plan so that we can, in fact, have a better control or capability of how our dollars are going to be utilized? All right, so if you have any suggestions, idea, or business that you already have or are planning to start, you can press one now. Brother Adrian, I'm going to run one by you and certainly share it with folks, and because, again, we're going to kick it off here in Philly, and actually starting next month, we'll be kicking it off here at our monthly meeting at Mama Akiola's Cafe, Spirit First Cafe. We'll begin to introduce to the community here in Philadelphia something that, again, we've been working on from our Black Print Agenda 25, and it is our bartering, exchange, and trade group. So now we're literally getting ready to put in practice as one of the steps to some other things, the capability to barter with each other, to trade with each other, and exchange. And it's not just about money. It's not just about fiat. It's not just about currency in the paper or coin concept. Sometimes people have jewelry. Sometimes people have painting or art or other things, books that you want to exchange. You might have two of something, and you have one that you really don't want now. Sometimes people get gifts. You know, there's a wedding gift or whatever. You don't know. So what we're going to start doing is listing the things that people want to sell, exchange, barter, and then those who are members of our group will be able to do. What do you think about that, Brother Adrian?
Well, when I sent out a report called Tips for Entrepreneurs, and I'm going to change it to Steps for Startups, one of the first principles I mentioned was bartering, which is a service-to-service trade. And a lot of people are not aware that you also can use some of those things. If you take the value of whatever you're trading, you can also write some of those things as a tax write-off, and that helps with tax shelters as well. So even if you don't have X amount of dollars, sometimes the service that you have, somebody might value, or you could value another service. For example, if somebody values their kids, maybe you could babysit. Maybe you can help them with homework. There are people that accept those things. So if you find out what other things that people value besides money, maybe they value their family, maybe they value their time, maybe they value information. If you find out what the other person values, sometimes you have to find out what people value outside of just money. And you can use as an exchange, which is called a service to serve. And we used to do that after slavery. That's how we built up a lot of our communities, like Tulsa, Oklahoma, Mount Vernon, Mississippi, and all those other communities.
Absolutely. And again, that's what we're talking about doing. Now, putting it in place so that it can actually become actively in moving along. We've got to now do these things because this system is crumbling. And you can best believe that we don't have some alternatives and notes. You know, we talk about dismantling the system or ridding ourselves of it. You can't do that unless you got something to replace a system with. So we're talking about creating, developing our own systems of interaction. That's what this is really about. That's what we're talking about. So, Brother Adrian, stay right there. We're going to go to another caller. And, caller, you are at 2034. 2034, your mic is now, there it is, it's open, and welcome to the segment, A New Day.
Well, thank you, Empress T. This is Sister Rahima Rahim in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hey, Sister Rahima, we talked about Tulsa.
Yes, ma'am, I heard it. Yes, ma'am. Well, thanks for taking my call because I have a question and a comment, if I can remember. Now, the question is, I know all of us know about clouds being seeded and how they started that a few decades ago. But recently I've heard that weathered, all these storms and things we're having, a lot of them are man-made. And in listening to what Brother Adrian said, I'm wondering, is that one of the reasons why there's so much damage down in Louisiana, because they do want the property. Now, that brings me to my comment. I heard that there is an organization, and I didn't take the notes because I was like, I'm not going to be able to use this anyway, but there is some brothers who have recognized that the government, particularly local governments, I think, have been taking people's property. So even some of these people, like some of these elderly people you all were talking about who are losing their property or actually have lost their property, there are millions and millions of dollars that the government has stored from these properties. In other words, they take your property, they sell your property, but there's a whole lot of money left over from that sale. So maybe he can speak to that, or maybe you can speak to that. But I just wanted to know, is that a possibility that these storms could be raging, just the powers that be want to get this property?
Right.
And
Thank you, Sister Rahima. Thank you. And before Brother Adrian responds to that, we've been for as long as I can remember, we've been citing, the different things, like HAARP is one of the programs or things that they supposedly use. So we've been talking about that kind of thing for years. But again, the question for me always is, what is our plan? What are we talking about doing? Because you best believe that their thing, that not only what you just said, Sister Rahima, but they get ready to up their whole thing. So whatever we thought we saw with the chemtrails and all that, these people with the GMO, this is why it's so important that we now really put these pieces together. Like when we begin to bring our program forward that deals with farming and agriculture, we now have someone who has literally developed a product that helps to replenish the soil.
Mm.
You see,
wonderful.
We have a brother who invented something called Torpedo Pot, where by
wow.
using his system, he has like different sized pots, and he has
mm-hmm.
the soil, and that you can literally grow your fruit and vegetables, primarily good vegetables, right in your house. That's how
right.
sophisticated what he designed, because his background is chemistry and physics and engineering and all of that. And he literally developed, a way to grow, to not only replenish the soil, but also the way in growing it, right? And
Excellent.
We've done sessions with him before, but my point is, so next year we'll literally now be going, but again, it's hard to say because now they're saying they're shutting stuff down again. So it's hard to really put a time on anything right now because, again, you know, they're talking about now closing the schools again here in Philly and going virtual again. So it's hard to select, you know, times and dates anymore. But again, as soon as we can, we'll be going into our communities and really getting this stuff done because we have the people to do it now. We literally have it. And I'll send you, if I haven't sent you his website, so far, Sister Rahima, you've got to see it. This man is brilliant. Brilliant.
I heard it on your show before. Thank you.
Oh, man. And he's out of sight. And we went to his farm. We went to his place. And him and his wife made a soup. We literally picked, whatever. I mean, because he had herbs. He had the peppers. He had tomatoes. And so we literally picked everything. And we gathered it, and then we went inside of his home, and his wife made a soup with what we picked. And it was
wow.
like, and he didn't add anything in it at all, just a little bit of sea salt. And you would have thought that it was incredible. It was the taste was out of this world.
Yeah, no, not like it used like it used to be.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. But I was like, but Brother Adrian, you got it now.
Well, in relation to the sister's question about do y'all think some of these storms are man-made, I tell people this all the time. If somebody from Louisiana tells you change like the weather, that's not a compliment because the weather changes. It could be 80 degrees right now, and tomorrow morning it could be 30 degrees. So, yeah, I would take that as a strong possibility here. That these storms could be to a degree man-made to a large degree. But as far as, and I'm glad Empress C brought up the brother with the torpedo pots because I remember that Zoom call that we had a while back. At my church, they have a man who's teaching people how to grow their own vegetable boxes. So I'm trying to connect him with the brother who heads the New Black Wall Street Project chapter here in Baton Rouge because, you know, him and his sons, he does construction, but him and his sons, they have where they grow their own vegetables, mustard greens, tomatoes, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to have to be getting into the point where we're growing our own food. Minister Farrakhan said years ago at a speech at Howard at one of the anniversaries of the Million Man March, the ABCs that we have to learn are agriculture, business, and chemistry. So we have to learn those skill sets and collaborate with our people who have those skill sets and stop thumbing our nose down on the farmers. We need to be getting together with black people who know how to farm. And I know several here in Baton Rouge who know how to farm. So I look forward to collaborating with all you brothers and sisters, and let's grow together.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. Sister Rahima, are you back in Tulsa yet? Are you still on the East Coast side?
I'm in Tulsa.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we are ready. We are ready. Yes. Wonderful. Glad to hear it.
For your March event.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, we're getting ready for that. And again, it's a projection, meaning, hold on a minute, because I'm getting an echo. Let me try to clear that up. Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to take it off the speaker. Hopefully that will take it. Okay, yeah, because, again, we don't know what's really going to happen because they're starting to close stuff down again. But you know, we just can give the projection. That's the only thing we can do for now.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, but we definitely getting ready for that because we have to get this stuff done now. You know, I've waited and waited and hoped that groups and others would, you know, would really support. That's not going to happen. I'm pretty convinced of that, and I'm no longer going to wait for them.
Okay, Miss Noah. your heart.
That's right. Look, enough is enough. You know, we started off earlier tonight talking about Madam C.J. Walker. Again, you know, because when you talk about economics, I mean, there's a few people you got to look real closely at. And of course, in recent days, you have a whole bunch of folks that you can look at in sports and entertainment and arts and all of that. But, you know, 100 years ago, you know, folks was doing some stuff. And we've got to see that and value it, you know. And so that's why with MWM, we figured out how we're going to generate revenue. We know that people are going to always do stuff with their hair. And, of course, nowadays we're more inclined to do it naturally, but we still are doing things with our hair. We want natural products for our hair. So MWM is going to, you know, be a distributor of natural products for hair and body care. There are thousands. We've researched it. There are thousands of products out there now. And it's just a question of bringing it together. And so that's what our plan is. We know that there's dollars out there. We know that we are creative enough to know how to put it together, and so we shall.
Well, if you want to look at the pandemic and go back when the pandemic first started, if you remember, the governors, the mayor, the politicians, the first thing they shut down in the black community that they advised us not to go to was the churches and the beauty and barbershops.
And the barbershops, that's right.
Those are the entities where we can legitimately be economically competitive. And that's why I believe the government and the black community went after those first. Because I found out during the pandemic, number one, crisis means opportunity. And a diamond in dirt is still a diamond. So there are opportunities that we have if we work together, because we had to learn at the time of the beginning of the pandemic. We was learning new ways of communication. Because barber and beauty shops are still open. They just had to be, you know, incognito, as they say.
So if
you look at those industries, the hair care industry, because one of the issues that I always brought up is that why are the majority of the distribution of black hair care products owned by Orientals and Asians? We can change that. That's why during the pandemic, they went after the churches and the beauty and barber shops.
Wow.
Because we can be economically competitive legitimately.
Yeah. That's right. Well, again, family, we see the writing on the wall. That's all I can say. And folks can keep acting like they don't know or don't understand or whatever, but this system does not care. And unfortunately, as the old church thing or whatever it was used to be said, not everybody going to be saved. It's just that simple. Not everybody is going to be saved. Enough has happened for people to have some kind of, you know, understanding that this stuff is serious. And we have to begin to do some things a little differently. And so, you know, going back to what both of you said, one of the key things is if you can't feed yourself, you're not going to survive. That's just the bottom line. There's certain things that
are not
fundamental. They are essential. And being able to feed ourselves is certainly one of those things. And I tell you, and I don't know if you all remember a few months back when I got kind of hip to what was going on, because here in Philly and in other cities, we were noticing the abundant amount of food boxes that was being disseminated in our communities. I mean, every time you turned around, it was food giveaways. Now, first, there was limited food, remember? At one point, when the pandemic first started, stores was running out of food, right? And then all of a sudden, the next thing we knew, a few months later, it was so much
food available, but it was through these boxes of food that you could get in the community. They were giving food away. And so one of those times, something just told me to get one of them boxes. And I did. Mm-hmm. And I opened it up. So Takesha Tucker, I sent her I screenshot it and sent it to her. At the bottom of the box was a letter. This is when Trump was in office, right?
That's right.
The bottom of the the bottom of the box had a message from the White House,
mm-hmm.
right? Now this was the food giveaway stuff, and everything in the box, for the most part, with the exception of potatoes and carrots, was all processed stuff, right? So
yeah,
hot dogs,
I don't know about
all this stuff, right? And this is what they was giving away. Now, no, don't get me wrong, family. There are some legitimate food banks and outlets that have been doing it for years. Don't get me wrong. So, yeah, that's cool. But I'm telling y'all what these people did. They created this stuff. And they created these boxes, and because they knew people needed food, and organizations in the community, this is how they think that they're able to convince people that they are about something, by giving them some boxes of food, right? And I'm telling folks, look, Black Panther Party did that 50 years ago, so y'all getting excited about some food boxes? Really?
Yeah.
May I comment on that?
And people was running out of toilet paper. I was like, okay, so now we need to look at other things that we wasn't even looking at that are basic necessities, like gas. And
right.
So
right.
We have a lot of things that we could focus on instead of nitpicking back and forth with each other over trivial
right.
stuff. We got a lot of stuff to focus on, and, you know, I know we can get it done. And to your point, Empress, about reaching the masses, if you really look at our history, most of our people hadn't been able to reach the masses in general. Even Marcus Garvey, who had 6 million people, but we had about 40 million black people on the planet or in America at the time, and he couldn't get five Negroes to come to court when he was on trumped-up charges to say, hey, he's okay. So, you know, we've always been able to survive with those like-minded individuals who wanted to move forward, and that's the way we're going to have to take it.
Yeah, well, like you said, brother, I mean, now is the time. You know, talk is good and all of that, but now action is really going to be what tells the story. And building our extended family, I mean, that's what we have to do. You know, first family first. That's what I say. The first family first. When I say the first family, I'm talking about African people, black people. That's the first family. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're going to be doing now, to making certain that our family, and again, I'm not talking about just my biological family. That's a given. But our family as a people, those that are interested now, that is not for everybody. I ain't trying to save everybody. I can't save everybody. But
right.
for those that get it or trying to get it, we're going to do everything possible that we can to make certain we get through this and get through it in the best of ways, because they're coming. They're already here, really. But it's getting ready to really, really get worse. When this economy thing hits for real,
it collapse.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be something else. And we have a short period of time to prepare. A short period of time, you know. And so those that don't, hey, see ya and don't want to be ya. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, it's just going to be that way. And Sister Rahima, I'm glad you're back in Tulsa because, again, I have some things I want to run by you soon. And like I said, we're pretty certain we have some foolproof things that they're not going to be able to do anything with it but just get out of the way. I'm telling you. The ancestors have really given us some powerful, powerful things. And we've been holding on to some of it for quite a while, but now is the time. We have to. We have to fight back in every way possible now. So I'll be sharing some of that with you very shortly. But let me go back to the boards here. And family, is there anyone else that has a business, excuse me, or that you have already, or you're looking to start And here's the other thing, family, especially with sisters. You know, there's a tradition known as susu. Again, this is a way that our people have done for ancient times to support one another with the capability of folks putting, you know, X amount of dollars into a pot, as they call it, over a period of time, and they rotate it around and so forth and so on. Well, that's not for everyone. However, there are some other alternatives. And so for Black women, when we do our convention, we're going to be talking about how we can support each other in the development of business, making certain that we move forward in the 21st century to make certain that we're able to do that. And I'll give you a little hint. We talked about it briefly already. Over these past couple of years, we've been newly collecting items from Black women, African women from all over the continent, actually the U.S. as well. We've been literally collecting it. We have pictures and things of that nature. So next year, we'll be prepared to go online. What that means is to present the first global Africana women's marketplace, where you can go online and purchase virtually, and 90% of the items are handcrafted. So we're talking about sisters that make stuff with leather, wood, art, jewelry, products, We have now from Cameroon, Nigeria, Ghana, of course, U.S., Jamaica, and so forth. This is some of the things we've been working on to assure that we're able to generate funds. So now, and we now have someone who is technologically capable to assist us to help us put this stuff online. Big up to Brother Al. At any rate, so next year for March, for Women's History Month, we'll be introducing products that folks can purchase. And I'm going to go back to the family here for discussion. If you go to Whole Foods, Walmart, some of these other stores, Macy's or whatever, you will more than likely see in the women, and particularly in the women's sections, fair trade items. That means that these companies are literally purchasing from the villages and so forth, and bringing goods from all over the globe that Black women, African women have made. Now, the thing is, they are not getting anywhere near what they're being sold for. Mm-hmm. And it's usually white folks who are conducting all of this business with our women. Now, everybody knows if you're going to Africa or throughout the diaspora, it's always the saying that it's the women that run the marketplaces. You see, so my point is, and wait till you see the pictures that I have. Hats, all kinds of stuff that our women, mats, blankets, quilts, you name it, pottery. My point is, for us to be organized, we can offer our women, nobody else, y'all. Yeah, I said it. This is not everybody's thing. Our women. And girls, yeah, because people be, you know, just because when you say women, everybody think you always got to include everybody. No, no. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got other people do that. I ain't got to do that. Anyway, so those women are now going to be able to sell their items via online through us. It's our network. Now, anybody can purchase the items. And we were going to market it to anyone that's interested. But the actual artisans are African women of African descent. Okay, so that's coming in March. I just want to put that out there. And this helps, you see, and particularly in Africa, it is rare for you to be able to go to school for free. You cannot go to, children can't go to school in Africa and most countries for free. It's not happening.
Yeah.
They got to pay. They got to pay for the uniforms. They got to pay for the books. And they have to pay for tuition. So the sisters have to do things in order to generate economic, you know, generate monies just for the children to go to school. not, we're not even going to talk about the basic stuff, but just to go to school. So we figured it out, at least to some degree. You see? And at least while there is some money matriculating, we better be getting as much of it as we can. And then, as we said before, we're going to be putting into effect the capabilities of bartering and exchange. But that'll come, you know, as we grow and develop. But I just wanted to put that out there to everyone because, again, we can talk all day and night about what the problems are. But if you cannot bring forward some at least possible or suggested solutions, hey, you're wasting time.
That's all I can tell you.
You're wasting time. So, okay, so let's go back to the family, and let's see if there's anyone else that has a business or a suggestion or anything else that you might want to share with us for tonight. We certainly welcome it. And by the way, if you are an artist, we are now accepting for our new Artivist Cadre, those who are interested in collaborating with us. This is another way to generate revenue, is to do collaborations with art, be it musical CDs, also with poetry and other kinds of things. And by the way, sisters, we are making available next year our first book of poetry. Million Woman March, Universal Movements will be producing its first book of poetry. So if anyone of our sisters is interested in submitting a poem and being a part of history in the makings, starting, I got to look at the date, starting soon, though, we're going to start accepting submissions for poems for our first book of poetry, Million Woman March, Universal Movements, Book of Poetry. Yep, we're going into the publishing business, y'all. We will also have our own calendar next year. Okay? So, with that said, you see, we again had held back on some of our projects because it just wasn't time. It is definitely time now, without a shadow of a doubt. All right, let me check the boards again, see if there's any more folks that want to share with us. If you do, press 1. I was hoping that our brother, Dr. Hasim, who was with us last night, because he had a wonderful suggestion in regards to, he was involved when he was in college, he was involved in a rites of passage program. And he shared with me something I thought was real interesting, what the students were doing in terms of cooperative economics. So I'm not, oh, wait a minute, I think I see him. Okay, hold on 1 minute. I think I see our brother there. So let me see if that is he. Hey, Doc, is that you?
That is me. How are you doing, Dr. Pillay?
All right. Good things. I'm glad I don't have to tell it because you're the one that brought it to my attention. I thought it was a wonderful idea. So would you please be so kind to share? But you know what? You're going to have to come off speakerphone because I'm getting some feedback.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Okay, great. Yep, that's much better. Okay, so please share what you as a student and others did. I just thought it was wonderful, and it's so easy, so you got it.
Right. However, too, as you said, there's a lot of things that we can do. However, everything happens, of course, in time. You know, I always share with my students that I work with, for example, I train other counselors to be school counselors and mental health counselors and any other type of counselor that they want to be. And one of the things that I stress to them is that there are tons of interventions out there in schools. However, not all interventions work at your school or for that child, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have to, in other words, there's things that you have to know about to determine what type of intervention will work best. You can't just go out there and use something. Or if you do use something and it doesn't work, then you have to go to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So in listening to the conversation thus far, there has been a lot of things shared. And one of the things that I can say is that all of the suggestions that were made are important suggestions. They work. For example, getting with the farmers was mentioned. there was another thing talking about women, and actually that goes back to a point that we talked about last time with the women, how important they are in the economic system of the family as well as the society in which they're in. And so that's an excellent point. One of the things that we did when I should give a little bit of background information about my experience. As you said, I was in college and I had some academic concerns. And as a result of having those academic concerns, I ran into a counselor, and the counselor was an African traditional healer. Again, and he had an African Rites of Passage program, and he is the late great Dr. Kwabena Fahim Ashanti. And in this African Rites of Passage program, one of the components of it dealt with economics. And in that, and that's another piece too, a lot of what is being talked about is not so much a problem with implementation. It also deals with education. The education piece is a big piece so that they understand it. And so one of the things that we learned in the Rites of Passage program was, again, the concept of fundraising and the concept of economic development. Again, all of those different components are part of, when you're talking about cooperative economics, all of those pieces come together. And so one of the things that we did is each generally in the program there were like 30 participants each semester generally, and so what we would do is everybody would put a certain amount of money into a pot, as you alluded to, and this system is not nothing new, but it worked for that particular environment. Why? Because if you go around in any college campus and see, you will see all these businesses around those campuses. And the reason why they're there is because they know that the students at the universities have money. So in that particular environment, this system worked, and we all put money into a particular pot. Now, the way it worked in general was that whoever had an idea, whoever had an economic development idea, that money would go to them such that then they could go on to their project. And then everybody put money back into the pot, or money was put in there weekly or monthly, or there was some amount. And then the other person would develop the other idea. So everybody is, you're not a passive participant. You're actually one, have an idea, and then as you said, you're also planning. Because at some point there's an idea that you have. And again, your market is already there, just as these other businesses are already around the campus. Your market is there. And so once that person gets that money, they go about their project or plan, and then the next person goes and there and there, and then money gets put back. And then One of the other things too that was also key to that was the ability to get other earlier you mentioned something about like Lowe's and Home Depot and those sponsorships. That was another key part of it, was because yes, independence is good. However, it's not being independence without again being aware of your environment. So it's creating within ourselves, but also too leveraging that with those corporations like Lowe's and other places to bring into those sponsors to then increase the visibility of those particular projects and things of that nature, and building partnerships. Right. So that was the other component that was part of it. So that's just another way and something simple, being aware of your environment and why that system, like you said, that's so old, that worked in that particular environment.
And may I just add, what you described is also comes out of the tradition of Esusu, the way that, you know, you put money in and then everyone kind of gets a chance to be able to get, you know, the lump sum at some point. That's the concept of the Esusu. And so that's a very old tradition. They still do it, actually, in parts of Africa. And so, again, these are some of the things that we've got to revisit, of course, revamp, you know, for today. But certainly we have the models. Now, the only thing I would add about in working with the various corporations, and you're right, a corporation like Home Depot or something like that, yeah, I can definitely see that. And a lot of times, those kinds of corporations, you're not in other words, the advertising is not as essential for them, you see. So they're able to give you materials and other kinds of things. And a lot of times, you know, no one really even knows that they've done that except their tax people. You know, they can write off on their taxes. But these other corporations, they are slicksters. They intentionally use the black market to push their product. You see, and I think it's important that we're able to differentiate the two. So, you know, so again, you have to be able to do business with whomever. Also have to be able to recognize which ones literally are, you know, are designed and have a history of exploiting us. See, these are the kind of things that now have to be, put into our scope to a greater extent. Because the so-called leaders that, and, you know, we talked about this earlier, Dr. Hasim, they are producing sheeple, people that just follow, and they're not asking questions, and they definitely are not getting any real information. Again, what is the percentage of executives that are black in these corporations? You see, what is the percentage of growth and development in terms of advancement for black folks in these corporations? These are the kind of answers and statistics. Now, here's one, and y'all going to like this one. Again, with the We Charge Genocide 21, one of our next steps is to begin to poll these corporations and just ask the question, which one of you are for reparations? See, to literally ask that one question, which of you, what are these corporations, which one of y'all, what's your position on reparations? Are you for or against it? Now, for us to have that in writing, that should tell us who we need to not be purchasing from.
Well, we had a, it's interesting you brought up that point, because, you know, earlier we had a conversation and we were talking about also as well the late great Bobby Wright, and that was one of the things that you spoke about, right, to your point, was that we got to ask those questions, and if it's not quite in the best interest of us, then we should at least he recommended mentioned something about boycotting, but in other words, then, you know, those organizations, if they don't serve our needs, then there's no need to doing business with them. But the one thing that I wanted to bring up too with that model is that was just the formation of it. And like you said, there's other psychological components that are a part of it. Just as the examples that were given earlier, there's this idea of trust. And so that is part of the psychological aspect of reparations that needs to be put in place such that something like that can happen, you know. And so that's very, 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 very key to it, because you cannot, you know, you cannot have that model with or that model will not be able to work if there's no trust.
Right. But that's why, see, again, and that's why I say, you know, it behooves us to pay attention to what has happened and what hasn't happened, meaning some of this stuff are lessons that have already been taught. And so
right.
we know very distinctively that you can do things if it's structured in that manner, you see. And so that's why what you'll see coming from MWM is we make it very clear. We're creating societies. Within our organizational structure, there will be societies. For example, the African Holistic Health Society, the African Historical Preservation Society. See,
right.
again, you know, it's been 100 years. The Honorable Marcus Garvey showed us certain things. Now, of course, there was dues that was paid for what he did. You see, he
well,
showed us some of the do's and don'ts, but also showed
right.
what could work. You see, so
yeah.
so again, we have examples of certain things. The Nation of Islam
right.
is still in existence, and even
right.
though it doesn't have the businesses and so forth that it did have, it still does
right.
have a viable and only that group. Right?
Right.
For the most
right.
part, benefit to the greatest degree. As
right.
with any group.
That's
here in
correct.
Philadelphia, we have a group called Asar Set. Asar Set is
right.
also in New York, and they're also in Atlanta. I think they're in
right.
Houston. In Detroit,
right.
you have the Shrine of the Black Madonna. You also have them
right.
in Atlanta and in another. My point is, and we was in Chicago with the African Hebrew group. They have groups
right.
in D.C. and Atlanta. So my point is, we already have examples of how things can work based on the fundamental acceptance of principles.
Right.
See, therein is a key, Dr. Hasim. This is why we're really pushing folk embracing Nguza Saba, but of Nguza Saba of not just Kwanzaa, but Nguza Saba of Ma'at, and combine that as a mode of operation. So what I'm saying is the people who are going to benefit. And you have to do it that way. It's like anything else. If you have a class action suit, only the people that sign on to that class action suit is going to benefit.
Right.
You see? So this
right.
is what we're saying. Unfortunately, we have to do this in an organized manner. There are other groups out there. There's other programs out there. And people can select what they feel is in their best interest. There's no one
right.
way to do this. We
right.
have a formula and a concept, and we'll present it, and those that, feel that this is of value or worthy, so be it. You see? But,
yeah.
Everything ain't for everybody, and we're not trying to make it so that it is, right? But like you said, you all were able to do that because you were a group that was having a rites of passage experience, and you were all in agreement with certain concepts.
That's correct.
See?
Right.
So there was a fundamental
right.
there that you all pretty much had embraced and agreed upon. That's what we're talking about now. That's why we're going
right.
to do pre-plebiscite sessions and other things so that people are clear. This is what we're talking. We're very transparent for the most part. So therefore, what we're saying is very clear. We are for and about African/Black people, period. This ain't about nobody else.
Mm.
See? Ain't about nobody else. Now, that right there should say, that should help bust down some of the distrust. I mean, that's just a step, but I'm just saying a lot of these other folks are talking about black and brown and all this other stuff. And I mean,
right.
and that's fine for certain things, but that's not our position. That's
right.
not our position.
Right.
Okay.
So, yes, I agree. I agree. There needs to be a commonality in thought
yes.
such that it does produce the practice of you know, cooperative economics. And again, we should not miss that piece. That's important. So whether it be Ma'at or another commonality in thought, that needs
exactly.
to be there.
That's right.
That
That's
bring
right.
it to fruition the plan that you have.
That's right. Absolutely. And again, you know, we're looking at value systems. We're looking at principles, you see. And again, with that kind of focus, you know, I feel real confident that, you know, it's not the all in all. It's not the 100%, but it certainly, I strongly believe, will enable us to move forward. And you know, and to grow and develop, and that's what it's about. And for example, one of the things that we wanted to talk briefly tonight, because, again, our philosophy is to help our people to be as edified as possible. And I use that word rather than educated, even though, you know, that's appropriate or that's applicable, but I'm specifically saying edification because that's a different level of both comprehension and advancement when you say to be edified. So, again, we talked today about the fourth principle of Kwanzaa, Ujamaa. But I wanted to ask folks, were they familiar with that concept prior to becoming a part of the Kwanzaa structure? Ha-ha! Does anyone know of Ujamaa prior to it becoming a part of the Kwanzaa paradigm or structure? Ah, see? See, again, we want to make sure that our people really know and understand what we're talking about and why. So I'll just give you a little brief on it. And this, again, will be one of our study group sessions. And it is... has anyone ever heard the name Julius Nyerere?
No.
Yes, no, maybe so. Has anyone of you that are on the line with us heard of Julius Nyerere, President Julius Nyerere? Yes, no?
Repeat that question again.
Are you familiar or have you heard of the name President Julius Nyerere?
No, I never heard it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an African.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. So, again, this is why it's really, really important that we provide as much information about certain things because... And if I remember correctly, I do believe that this was one of the influences for Dr. Maulana Karenga in developing the concept of Ujamaa. Because in 1967, Julius Nyerere, who was the president, he published a book, or actually it was a document, it was a blueprint. Because remember, the African countries was just coming out of colonization. They were just starting to get independence. And so Tanzania got its independence, and its first president, the first president of Tanzania, was Julius Nyerere. And he published a book, because remember, the language for Tanzania, like with Kenya, is Swahili. And so Julius Nyerere recognized that the African countries that were coming out of colonization had to have something to begin to focus on their own to bring them out of the mindset, the economic situation, and all of that. So he developed something, and it was called the Arusha Declaration. And from the Arusha Declaration, he created a program and a concept called Ujamaa. And Ujamaa not only meant cooperative economics, it meant brotherhood. And it's a social interaction. it came from a socialism concept, but he put it in a format of Ujamaa, meaning brotherhood and extended family, that was applied to cooperative economics. You see? So that's why it's really important for us to grasp and really utilize these principles to a greater extent. It behooves us to also have a better understanding of more of, you know, some of the other dynamics that went with it. And again, this was literally a document that was compiled by the first president of Tanzania when they had just come out of being colonized, and they wanted to define themselves. They wanted to, you know, plan and work in a government that they wanted to develop. And Ujamaa was a part of the plan for that particular country. And they were proposing it, because remember, this is when the African Union was just getting ready to be formulated, because the other countries were starting to get liberation also. And so they were developing, you know, possibilities that would enable the countries that were being newly liberated. They was trying to develop strategies and other modes of operations to help the various countries to move forward. And Julius Nyerere was one of the first, along with Kwame Nkrumah, to develop something. Kwame Nkrumah developed the next concepts of Pan-Africanism as it pertained to Africa, you see. And Julius Nyerere developed these kinds of components. So you had several different presidents or seven different leaders that were doing different things. But this one, again, directly was Ujamaa. So, again, family, y'all can research it. It's right there for you. I'm just giving you some fundamentals. You can look up Arusha Declaration. And that's spelled A-R-U-S-H-A, Declaration. Okay? Or you could just put in Ujamaa, Tanzania. Okay? And then you will be able to see for yourself some of the history. And so the document was produced in 1967. But Julius Nyerere was already, you know, implementing and talking about it around 64. Okay. All right. Okay, so let me go back to the board to see if there's anyone that has any questions or comments about any of that, or you want to add on to something. Let's see. Nope. You can press 1 if you do, family. We would love to hear from you. All right. Doesn't look like anybody has a question or a comment for that. I know there was a lot right there because, again, you know, we try to make sure that we are as informative as possible. Okay, we do have one. Caller, you are 8521. Your mic is now open. Welcome to this segment of New Day.
Happy Kwanzaa, everyone.
Oh, boy, Ujamaa. Yes.
Ujamaa.
Yes. Yes.
Calling from Newark, New Jersey.
Ujamaa.
Just want to say, Sister Manera calling from Newark, New Jersey. Just, you know, sending my love, you know, and gratitude. Thank you once again. Always connecting the dots. Yes, indeed, we do need cooperative economics. We need to, you know, live the seven principles of Kwanzaa each and every day of our lives. Is very important.
Yes.
Thank you enough for all the wonderful initiatives. Just to,
all right.
Now I want to bring our people together in unity, and also to bring us back to the legacy of what our forefathers and mothers brought before us. So thank you for continuing the legacy. I am a self-made entrepreneur who started with nothing, you know. If I could tell you, continue on telling you how I built my business from the ground up out of my own pocket. I am a female truck driver, tradeswoman, who took my education and created my own. So I'm now venturing off to my own hauling services, labor service, and also residential and construction cleanup. So that's where I'm at with my business. And, of course, thank you for providing the platform to share and also being very instrumental in helping me to build my, you know, I can't thank you enough. You was very instrumental from day one since we made our reconnection. So that's what cooperative economics is all about, is each one teach one, and also, you know, building a black think tank for all of our people. We definitely need that. We need to go back to bartering and, you know, building up each other and building our business, and also, you know, having our money go around and as many as times as possible within our own community amongst our own selves. So it's very important. So thank you all to all who are connecting the dots with, you know, our Million Women's Movement. I can't thank you enough for heeding to the call for my president general, you know, and her, you know, mission to build a movement, a universal and global movement for our people. If not us, you know, if we don't support our own business, then who gonna do it, you know? And we got to stop, you know, allowing, like you spoke about, Goldman Sachs, you know, you know, dangling this carrot for our, you know, black women businesses. And we got to stop accepting the carrots to sell out our people for these corporations who you gave the history, you know, about them, major violations against, you know, our people in our community. So they do that. They try to buy some of us off, but we got to learn to say no, you know, or just take the money and just run, or whatever we could do. You know? But it's better for us to build and build and pool our money together, and we got to get back to that. So happy Kwanzaa. And let's not, you know, just use it as every year. This have to be a way of life, 365 days a year. You know, we have to think black everything. So thank you again. Much love and gratitude.
Thank you, my sister. Back at you. Give thanks.
Right on. Peace and love. Thank you.
All right. Peace to you. Hi, family. I just wanted to share something with you. That was Sister Manira. And by the way, the 50th year commemoration of the National Black Political Convention is going to be happening in Newark in April of next year, the 50th year commemoration. I attended the last commemoration that was in Gary, Indiana, I think like 5 years ago. They did the 45-year anniversary or something. I was at that one. But this one is going to be in Newark, where Sister Manira is. And we have already decided we will be doing a side event, and we charge genocide side event, parallel event, during that time period, because Newark is one of our sister cities. But also the point is, in March, we will be introducing for the Black Women's Political Convention our Million Woman Party. Now, to take you kind of in the frame of mind as to why that's so important, again, in talking about Ujamaa, one of the things that was introduced as part of the Ujamaa program that was implemented in Tanzania. Now, note, Tanzania obtained its independence in 1961. So Dr. Julius Nyerere began to introduce this idea of Ujamaa roughly around 63, 64. and then produced the actual document in the blueprint roughly around 67. But one of the things I wanted to point out about the Ujamaa, even though it focused a lot on cooperative economics, that was also connected to the political process. For example, and again, you can go check this out for yourself. If you look up this concept of Ujamaa under the direction of Julius Nyerere, you'll see that there were points connected to the Ujamaa plan. And those points were, in fact, the creation of a one-party system. That was one. Also, the institutionalization of social, economic, and political equality throughout the creation of a central democracy. So my point is, in order to transition from being enslaved, they had to develop a process to get them from one step to the next step. And Ujamaa was a part of this country's application of coming from colonization into more of independence. The other area that they focused on was the fostering of Tanzania's self-reliance through two dimensions, the transformation of economic and cultural attitudes. These, again, were literally parts of his blueprint. The other area, of course, was, the creation of Tanzania rather than tribal identity through means such as the use of Swahili. So this is when they literally nationalized Swahili as being the national language, as opposed to all, I mean, you know, they people still had their own dialects within the country, but they made the national language one language. So the reason why I'm putting these things out is because you've heard us talk about pre-plebiscite sessions, which will be coming as part of our We Charge Genocide 21 project for September in Washington, D.C., when we do this at Labor Day. The thing about the pre-plebiscite sessions is to begin to allow us to structure ourselves very similarly, or to some degree, like this, to determine how do we want to govern ourselves, under what kind of structure. You see, we've never had that. That was always given to us or put in our midst, and we just accepted it. We never voted on how we want to be governed. We never voted on how we wanted to live as a people. None of that. We've never voted on do we want to adopt a language as our official language. None of that. So now our pre-plebiscite sessions will allow us to at least have that dialogue and then ultimately vote. So that way, those that are in that society of self-determination, of nation building, will have the capability to vote on what do we wish to be called, at least as a provisional government or a provisional pre-government, etc. Some of these things are new to some, but they really aren't. If you study either Dr. Amari Obadeli or study Baba Herman Ferguson, they taught us about plebiscite concepts. Brother, President Amari Obadeli was, of course, one of the presidents of the Republic of New Africa. He was also one of the Wilmington 10, a political prisoner. He was finally released from prison and then attended college here in Philadelphia. He went to Temple University. He's originally from Philly, by the way, but he went to Temple University, got his doctorate's degree in political science, and then ultimately became president of the Republic of New Africa, and during that time taught a lot of good stuff. And one of those things was a plebiscite. He and Baba Herman Ferguson. Baba Herman Ferguson was, of course, a member of Malcolm X's organization. So you see, we are connecting the dots whereby the things that I'm saying, I didn't come up with this. I mean, some little parts of it maybe, but it is to continue the work of our ancestors who gave their lives for some of this. Queen Mother Moore was another one. She was one of the co-founders of both INCOBRA and the Republic of New Africa. You see, so again, we're not trying to reinvent stuff. We're not trying to take anything away from anyone. We're merely working to build and advance those things that have already been given to us and have already been fought for. And we're not no new kids on the block either, right, at the same time. Okay. So, all right, family, we're going to get ready to close out. Just one again. I encourage everyone, please look up. This is the only principle that that I know of that literally is named for something that we can really see a historical, you know, not only significance, but literal practice. And that is, again, Ujamaa. And if you, again, look up the Arusha Declaration, I'm telling you, you'll probably be very surprised and also very pleased to see how dynamic our people were and are, you see. So again, you know, when you get the opportunity during these 7 days of next days of Kwanzaa, again, take the opportunity to look up the Arusha Declaration. And then it will also give you some idea of where we're going with the A Million Black Women Federation and some of our society components, because it will all come together at some later point. Okay, I'm going to go back to our family that are in queue and see if you have some closing comments for us. I'm going to go to Brother Adrian first, and then I'll have Sister Rahima, and then we'll have our brother Dr. Haseen to close us out, and then Sister Munira. Okay, Brother Adrian, some closing comments for you.
Look, I want to let everybody know again that I look forward to working with and networking with and partnering with all of the individuals who run businesses, so therefore we can grow together. And if you want to check out the Community Defender with Brother Adrian, subscribe for free to www.emediagc.com. That's www.emediagc.com. Go there and subscribe for free, and we can help and market, promote your business, your product, your services, and email me at communitydefender@yahoo.com. That's communitydefender@yahoo.com. Again, I can be reached at 225-571-2274, 225-571-2274, and I look forward to growing and partnering with and all us grow and go together. Empress C, thank you for the time, and thank you for all of the all the things that you do, and We Charge Genocide 21, the Community Defender, we go to war.
All right, I say. Thank you, Brother Adrian. All right, Sister Rahima.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you got some closing comments for us.
Well, I just, you know, I wanted to quickly, if I can, go back to that letter you were talking about from Trump and bring it up to the present. He was bragging about the millions of dollars he had donated. I think it may have been $3 or $4 billion, but he had donated to the farmers. We know most of those farmers came from the Northwest. In Baltimore, there's a pastor, Heber Brown III, who at Pleasant Hope Baptist, he has an African security food network, and he's going all over the country teaching people how to. So I will send you that information.
Oh, please,
so yes. With him, hopefully. He will, he'll bring it to fore. So thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, sister. I look forward to that. Yes. All right, because we've already reached out to Dr. Boyd. Sister Kara is going to be on one of our teams. Of course, they're with the Black Farmers Association. Next up, Dr. Haseen, your closing comments.
After Brother Adrian, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'll just say, you know, thank you again for having me on. I always appreciate having an opportunity to be on and listen. There's always valuable information, and I learn each and every time I come on. So thank you for having me, and thank you for all the guests and the information shared.
Oh, give thanks, give thanks. All right, thank you, my brother. All right, and Sister Manira. Oops, wait a minute, I got to open your mic back up. Hold on, wait a minute, where'd you go? Where'd you go? All right, there you go. Sister Manira, your closing comments.
Well, once again, like I said, we come from greatness. You know, our ancestors who came before us, you know, laid the foundation in so many ways, our freedom fighting ancestors, you know, they made something out of nothing with little or nothing. So once
That's
again,
right.
if not us, then who, you know, mm-hmm. we got to take whatever skills that we have, whatever we produce, whatever kind of talents, whatever kind of businesses we have to begin to build cooperatives. You know,
mm-hmm.
workers' cooperatives.
That's right.
Business
yeah.
cooperative, barter cooperatives, whatever, housing cooperatives, whatever we are skilled and talented in, we have to begin to build cooperatives and start pulling our resources together. If COVID mm-hmm. didn't show you in all the pandemics and Hurricane Katrina, how they showed us clear as day that they don't care about us. Michael mm-hmm. Jackson told us in his music, you know, and so many others, you know, I mean, like, what else, what more do it take for us? What do it take for our people?
That's right.
So take
That's
the
right.
time out, you know, build whatever we have to build. Thank you again for providing this platform and all the wonderful initiatives that come out of the Million Women's initiatives. I mean,
yeah.
every initiative that you have developed for building this movement is very essential. You know, if our people just don't, like, get up off their behinds, get up, stand up, and do something, and do it now, right now, then what can I say? What can we say? So continue to work, do the work, live out the principles, you know, and live out, you know, what our great ancestors, you know, had brought before us. Madam C.J. Walker, you know.
Yes, yes,
all the
yes.
wonderful, I mean, it was just so many cooperatives I read, you know, just by information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just have to just live it. Thank you once again, my President General, and all those who are heeding to your call to build a movement and to do better for our people. You know, thank you. Thank you. I can't
I
thank
say.
You.
Thank you, sis. Thank you. And family, I also, Sister Manira mentioned something, and I would be remiss. I talked to Baba Bilal Sunni Ali earlier today, and I was asking him for information because, again, you know, it's important to go to some of the elders to really get more clarity about certain things. And as Sister Manira mentioned, I'm definitely developing always things for us to do, things for us to examine, and possibilities. But some of those things I do run them by, you know, elders, brothers and sisters who have walked that path already. And, of course, I talked to Baba Bilal earlier today too, and asked him about the Republic of New Africa, because 50 years ago, you know, they were, in fact, talking about free to land, and were very adamant about obtaining land in various parts of the U.S. And you know, set up, you know, various kinds of locations where they were, in fact, you know, dealing with that land. And so I wanted to know more about, you know, where that was now, how they did it then, because, again, 50 years ago, that was new, particularly, you know, in the North. And then to say that you're going to go, you know, set up shop in the South, that stuff was new. But it definitely changed things. In fact, the reason why the mayor of Jackson now is there is because of Chokwe Lumumba, and his son is now mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. But again, it was brothers and sisters that formulated, you know, practices and strategies that, you know, helped to propel some other things. And Sister Manira mentioned co-op, and in Jackson, they had a very, very powerful co-op called, one of the projects there is called Kush. You know, after the nation, the great empire of Kush, but they also have the Jackson Cooperative, which deals with land and so forth. So again, I'm just saying these things because, yes, these are essential, and what Baba Bilal said to me was that it was co-ops that were started when they were doing certain things, particularly in the South, because that was a way to organize the people. Because during that time period, of course, one of the major things was voting. People really wanted the right to vote and a way to organize around the issues was around land. And so, you know, so in talking with him, it helped give me even more clarity about certain things, certain operations, why and how, you know, and to what degree. They were able to really make some headway. And then when you start putting those pieces together, you're really able to get a better idea. And lastly, just like with Baba Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, remember that first initiative for the Black Panther Party was really started in Lowes County, you see, in the South. And it wasn't called Black Panther Party per se. It was called the Lowes County Freedom Party. You see, but and use the Black Panther as his symbol because the white folks had their, you know, whatever their party was, and they was using, I think, a rooster was their symbol. And so Baba Kwame Ture, a.k.a. Stokely Carmichael, when they started the Lowes County Freedom Party, and note, again, we have to develop our own parties. Even though you may have to run the candidate on or in one of the already parties, you still can have your own party and platform if you know how to do that. And we most certainly should know because we've had Ella Baker, Shirley Chisholm, Fannie Lou Hamer. There's no reason why we should be telling people to vote and we not already have a component, political component, to facilitate that kind of operation. It is ridiculous any other kind of way in this day and age. So I just wanted to put that out there to you because that is, again, one of the several of the forums that we're going to be conducting for 2023 to have our own independent political operations. And for those of you who can recall, we had Chairman Fried on a couple of weeks ago. So starting in January, Chairman Fried and I and a few others will be conducting political science courses, classes, study groups for those who are interested so that, again, we can, in fact, get this stuff done and know these things from a Black perspective. We need to know civics and political operations from a Black perspective and for the purpose of advancing our agenda. All right, family, we're going to close out now. And again, we thank you all for tuning in, and we certainly look forward to talking with you on the next session. I'm not sure we're going to do another special edition tomorrow, but certainly before we close out for this Kwanzaa season. And you know what we do right about now? We say we're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there's truly justice, and we're talking about Ma'atic justice. You have to be clear nowadays because anybody can say justice, but what type of justice are we looking for? We say Ma'atic justice, truth, justice, reciprocity, honor, balance, law, righteousness, order. So anyway, family, if there's no justice, there's no what, y'all?
No peace.
Okay, no peace. You got that right. All right, family. And we also say, Pomoja Tutashinda, together we shall win. And guess what? It's going to be soon, y'all. We get ready to get some real victories. Until next time, Tutanana.
Tutanana.
Thank you.